Welcome to the Altus Group podcast series. Earlier this year, Altus Group hosted its fourth annual Tysons Real Estate Breakfast Panel, which focused on current and future value creation in the Tysons market. In episode one, Ross Lichtenhaus, the senior director with Altus Group, introduces the panel, discusses why developers are building in Tysons, and why tenants and owners are all buying into the idea of new Tysons. And with that, we'll hand it over to Ross.
To Altus Group's annual Tysons Real Estate Breakfast Panel. This is our fourth annual event and the second year in a row that we've been able to host it here at beautiful Washington REIT Silver Line Center. I know we've got some folks here. We're very happy to have it in this facility, which we also call home to Altus's Tysons office on the sixth floor. If you want to come check it out afterwards, we're happy to host you. The title of this year's presentation is Tysons Billions, and what we're going to be talking about is what the Tysons market is worth, what's transpired since the comprehensive plan was announced about 5 years ago, and of course all of the developments and beautiful buildings that are coming out of the ground are planned or in the pipeline. And as always, we have an all-star cast here, starting with Mo Hamilton, Executive Director at Cushman Wakefield here, directing to my left. Mo's name and reputation here in Tysons, I think, is synonymous with office leasing in this market. He's a wealth of knowledge, and he's got a great perspective on the history and future of Tysons as a whole. Next, we've got Fred Selden, who's holding down the county's end. Fred is the director of the Department of Planning and Zoning in Fairfax County. Fred and his team have really been instrumental in forging some very strong public-private partnerships to get the most out of the comprehensive plan and help developers like Steve and Jim get their buildings out of the ground. Very, very happy to have him with us today. Next to Fred, we've got Steve Cumbie with NV Commercial. Steve is CEO and principal of NV and its bevy of related companies. Steve's experience, as most of you know, in land development spans decades here in the DC area. And Steve has also been an advocate and board member of INOVA, which is one of Fairfax County's crowning jewels. And his fingerprints, as many of you know, have touched many of the area's most successful projects. So we are very, very pleased to have Steve join us as well. And last but certainly not least, Jim Policaro. Jim has been leading development at Lerner for more than 18 years, and I think it goes without saying that Jim and Lerner's masterminding of numerous projects throughout the D.C. area have literally changed the skyline and created much of the skyline that we see here in Tysons and D.C. and abroad. So from ballparks to trophy office, Jim's been there. So again, a great all-star cast. Certainly welcome you guys. Before I move on, I think I'd be remiss not to thank a handful of people who were absolutely instrumental, blood, sweat, and tears in pulling this event together. First, Emily Haggerty, who some of you know. I don't know where Emily is. She can get on her tippy toes if she for those of you that know Emily, and I know most of you here do know Emily, since last year's event, Emily was promoted to run marketing for our business unit nationally. So we're very, very pleased with that. Second, I'd like to thank Becca Miller. She's one of our newest additions from last year, an analyst in our group, one of our young, bright minds, and also an AU alum. And she was very instrumental in helping analyze, research, and value what's coming through the pipeline at Tysons, which is going to be kind of the genesis for my portion of the presentation. Becca, thank you. Fantastic job on that. And Fernando Calvo, where's Fernando? Out of our Atlanta office, key account exec. This man helped put the polish on the presentation for the last bit. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. And last but certainly not least, embarrass the heck out of her, Michelle Goss. Michelle was really the ringleader pulling all of this together, kind of the Steve Wozniak of this event, making sure that it was going to happen the way that it needed to happen, that it worked, that people showed up, because that's always a concern. Put on this big party, nobody shows up, it'd be embarrassing, so thank you all for coming. So Michelle, thank you very much for your efforts. A great group that helped pull this off. We're certainly going to discuss the Trump administration. I know Mo's going to touch on that briefly in his presentation. We're going to find out how bad it could potentially be, or good. Are we talking Crystal City soft office market bad? Are we talking Flint, Michigan, don't drink the water, you'll die bad? I'm certainly optimistic. I think we all are. We're going to be talking about office demand drivers in Tysons. We're going to talk a little bit about multifamily and condo. I know many of us, including me, some of our younger millennials, certainly want to know when we're going to start to see more condo in this market, when it's going to be ripe, and when we're going to start to see delivery of some of those projects. And I think Jim will probably touch on that as well. So we're going to cover a wide spectrum of topics, all focused on Tysons development here. And the structure of this morning's event, once I get done talking, I'll start talking again as I give a short presentation. And then we'll go down the line here. Everybody's going to talk a little bit about what they're seeing drive value proposition in the Tysons market. I like to differentiate this event from some others that you've been to. We like to have some practical application that folks in the audience can take back to the office to actually make money on. So this is more than just regurgitating office statistics, market demand drivers. This is really meant to talk about how deals are getting done, why they're getting done, how they're getting done. And, of course, Fred and the county always being a part of this panel talking about how private sector is working with public to get these deals done. So we truly want everybody to leave this event this morning with some practical application in terms of how you get stuff done in Tysons, why people are doing what they're doing in Tysons. First, let me kick things off here with a presentation of my own. And this kind of illuminates the context of the title of the event, which is What is Tysons Worth? And coincidentally, the impetus for this study or this exercise that we went through, and again, the title of this event actually came from a comment that Mo made to me about 8 or 9 years ago when he and I met. He had mentioned to me at that time, and I was just coming out of D.C., having worked downtown, moving to the Wild West to Tysons before Tysons was really, at that point, still a place that people wanted to be. And Mo had mentioned to me that Tysons had more square footage, office square footage, than the entire city of Miami. And that always struck me as interesting, right? I mean, that's a huge statistic. You always think of Tysons as kind of commuter community, place that people come and work, and you've got office space that's, you know, tucked back in certain areas, but really to understand the breadth and the scale of office, it's a pretty impressive statistic. And I think now Tysons, if I'm not mistaken, is about 11th or 12th largest office market in the country. So earlier this year, I was doing a podcast on Tysons real estate trends, and as I was preparing, I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we could actually put a market value on what exists today and what's in the pipeline? So what does all this mean? Everything that's being brought to market, everything that Fred's group is reviewing on an annual basis, things that are coming out of the ground. And as Fred will tell you, I think Fairfax County has certainly put some tax revenue numbers to all the development that is here and certainly planned. And as folks on the real estate tax appeal front, we're constantly battling that with them to preserve those tax liabilities. But the county's kind of done their own economic development planning and numbers around it. But we wanted to look at it from a market value perspective. And we have a ton of data that we store internally at Altus. And I want to elaborate a little bit on that because most of you may know Altus in this market because of our real estate tax appeal services and appraisal and valuation, which is top-notch, of course. But there's a whole other side of the company, another business unit, called Altus Analytics. And it's really the lesser known, I think, in this market, but certainly well known at the institutional level. What Altus Analytics is it's an umbrella business unit that houses most of the technology that we have. And as most of you may or may not know, we own Argus. That's one of the softwares that we own. We have another, you know, six or seven different technologies that we've acquired that are housed under that division as well. But really the key piece, right, the driver that was the genesis for the data that we gathered to do this this valuation was driven by a service line there called Research Valuation and Advisory, what's known as RVA. And for a lot of you who don't know, RVA manages the appraisal and valuations of about $500 billion worth of commercial real estate every year, just in the U.S. alone. So they're collecting data points on real estate through appraisals, managing it, benchmarking, analyzing, tracking, predicting. So we've got a tremendous amount of actual operating data that we can pull from. I mean, it is more actual operational real estate data than any other company in the world housed just within our walls. So what we can do, and of course, for anybody that knows RVA, there is a firewall. I'm not going in and looking at what Jim's properties are doing, anybody else, but we're able to mine that data as it's scrubbed, anonymized, and we can look at trends in actual rental rates, capitalization rates, transactions, anything that you would find in an appraisal. And what we can do is we can start to frame the context of all this development in terms of market value. So as I mentioned before, Becca and I spent quite some time pulling this information, slicing and dicing it, building profiles around property, what's being developed to put an appraised value on what exists and what we expect to come out of the ground in the coming years. So let me start this with framing our current situation here in Tysons. And I want to begin painting this picture with a focus on population growth in and around the D.C. area. As you can see, the District of Columbia has experienced the largest net growth out of the submarkets that are covered there, with a current population today of around 681,000. As of year in 2016, D.C. grew almost 12% between 2010 and 2015. And it's actually the largest it has been since the 1970s. And of course, that may change with the Trump administration. We just don't know. And we'll touch on that a little bit later. So we're still seeing significant growth in the district, I think driven by better than average job market, which most of us are aware of. It's a very, very tight job market here and very difficult to find good people. And interestingly, and somewhat to my surprise, we've actually seen greater growth in Tysons from a percentage standpoint. Over the same time frame, Tyson's has grown more than 14%. My prediction personally is that will continue, but more than anything else, I think that this is affirming of what the comprehensive plan intended to do, right? It intended to create a live, work, play community, not just a commuter destination. The numbers seem to show that desired trend, I think, coming to fruition. And good news is that trend continues. It's going to help all of us because we have a massive amount of real estate in the pipeline, which we'll cover here in a minute. If the Tyson's estimates are correct, we're hoping that in the next 15 years, the population grows to more than 44,000 residents. And this is good news because, as we'll discuss in a moment, we've got a tremendous amount of residential stock that's in the pipeline, and we're looking at the potential for about 36,000 combined residential units in this market when it's all said and done, at least what sits on the table today. So after analyzing all of this, I start to ask the question, when it comes to residential, are we actually building enough? I used to be concerned that we were getting into a frothy market, and of course everything that's in the pipeline is not going to be delivered next year. But when you start to look at the trends, the numbers, and the prospect of growth in Tyson's, you start to ask, are we actually planning and building enough? And I think that that's good news for the Tyson's market as a whole. Because, I mean, let's be honest, DC has become prohibitively expensive for a lot of people. And much of the workforce with the new administration coming in talking about reducing the federal government and moving government offices out of some of the more expensive areas like downtown DC, Tyson's could be the landing spot for a lot of those government offices, and we need housing stock for those government workers, and I think we'll start to trend towards a younger demographic and may work for the federal government, and Tyson's is a great spot for them. My prediction, I think, is that will happen, and I think, you know, with the successful delivery of some of the major placemaking developments like the borough with Meridian Group, Tyson Central, Steve's project, and others, I think the Tyson's will become that less expensive alternative and may even see a boon in office leasing with the Trump administration, which I know Mo will touch on here in a minute, which, again, is great for Mo and for Jim. So let's take a look at the actual current conceptual land use here in Tyson's. And if you didn't know, I'm a huge fan of Tyson's and the future of Tyson's. And I think what's been contemplated here by both public and private sector is truly unprecedented. And if you really start to look throughout the country and globally, what we're trying to achieve in terms of repositioning this submarket is tremendous, absolutely tremendous. And I'm very bullish on the market and the planning coming out of Fred's office as a whole to implement and commit the dollars by like the folks on this panel making that happen. So I think Tyson's no longer destined to be that commuter community. I mean, we're activating certain areas of the submarket, as you can see, around Metro, looking to regrid the submarket itself and make this into a more urban environment. So what does that mean, right? If you're a broker, developer, capital markets professional, property manager, I firmly believe that Tyson's will be one of the biggest revenue drivers for our industry here locally. I think probably more so than any other market in the area from a percent growth perspective. And again, we're not talking about next year and not 5 years from now. We're talking about long-term planning where you've planted the seeds for growth. I think that Tyson's will look back 15 years from now and see it absolutely, I'm not going to say Trump, eclipse some of the other markets in the area. So I got yelled at for that earlier when I used that term. Now to the fun stuff. What is all of this worth, right? Everything that we've been planning, we've been building, what is it worth to the market in value terms? And the short answer is it's a lot. So before showing you all the results, let me explain the methodology. And I don't want to get too granular here, but I do want you to know that we didn't just take a dartboard and start throwing darts. As I mentioned before, we got a treasure trove of real estate data, appraisals, and other market information. And what we did was we dove into that data and we surveyed surrounding submarkets and we tried to build a profile around Tyson's based on other trends in other counties and submarkets around the D.C. area that are similar, that are somewhat comparable. And it was a very difficult exercise because you're dealing with so many hypotheticals associated with the market, the delivery, the timing, the volume, you know, what are terminal cap rates going to be? Once you get to the end of those developments, rental rate growth. I mean, so you literally could have traveled down this rabbit hole to the nth degree. So we had to put some frame and context around it. And we did this not only for the existing stock of real estate, but we also did it for the proposed development as well. And once we'd established our baseline values, meaning looking at you know, what a particular office would sell from a per square foot basis and all the other metrics that went into that you would value real estate, we also did that for the proposed stock as well. And we looked at this in aggregate to come up with the total. In layman's terms, I think some of my colleagues are even looking at me confused. We looked at all the buildings that we could see and the ones that we know are going to be built, and then we figured out how much they're worth. I mean, that's basically what we did. And we mined a ton of data to do that. I will say, before I show you these numbers, I think we were a little bit conservative, right, because there's so many hypotheticals associated with this, so you kind of pick it apart as you want. But again, it's just to show you the staggering amount of value and asset worth that's going to be brought to market over the next coming decades. So let's take a look at the existing state of the market from a value perspective. We've got about 27.5 million square feet of office, close to 6 million square feet of retail, 2.7 million square feet of hotel and hospitality assets, and about 14 million square feet of residential. Now, based on our appraisal of the market, we feel that the total market value for office is approximately $8.7 billion as it stands today, retail about $2.9 billion, and then hotel and hospitality just a shade under $2 billion. Residential is almost $5 billion at this particular point in time, and this is where I think things get interesting. In terms of what is planned and in the pipeline for development, if you take all of the Class A trophy and office under construction, approved, proposed, you get roughly 20 million square feet. And I want to put that in comparative terms. I'm just going to use Fernando's hometown of Atlanta to put this in comparative terms. If you take all of the office vacancy in the Atlanta MSA and then add to that all of the office square footage that's planned for construction in Atlanta MSA, that's the number you get to, right about 20 million square feet. I mean, I had to really dig into some reports to try to find a comparison that works to get to that number exactly, and that's what I came up with. So it's a staggering amount of square footage that's being proposed and planned today. And, of course, I think a striking difference, obviously, is that trophy space here in Tysons, you're doing deals at like 55 a square foot, where I think in Atlanta it's probably closer to the mid-30s. So big difference, but still a huge amount of square footage is going to be brought to market. For retail development, we're looking at increasing what exists today by almost 50%. And that's, again, what's under construction, approved, and proposed as of year-end 2016. That means adding an additional 3 million square feet of retail to the market. The same growth can be said about hotels as well, virtually doubling of the existing stock of about 2.6 million square feet. And for residential, what is in the pipeline today will result in a tripling of the existing multifamily stock in Tysons. And again, that's assuming everything ends up seeing the light of day. Our estimates on the market value of those assets in total are approximately $8.1 billion for office, $1.6 billion for residential, $1.72 billion for hotels, and a staggering $9 billion in value created in the residential market. So that's new construction. Putting this all in perspective and looking at aggregate numbers as of January, we're looking at creating a market with approximately 48 million square feet of office, based on what we know exists and is proposed today. 9 million square feet of retail, 5.3 million of hotel and hospitality, and almost 40 million square feet of residential assets here in this market. So I think it goes without saying that the new comprehensive plan, you know, the market fundamentals, frankly, the sheer audacity of some of the folks here in this room and on this panel today, they're really building a marquee submarket. So what does all this mean from a value perspective in total? Close to $18 billion worth of office assets, $4.6 billion in retail, a shade under $4 billion for hotel assets, and then almost $14 billion in residential value. So there you have it, an exercise, somewhat in self-interest, exciting for us. But I think it helps illuminate and paint the landscape here that what we're trying to achieve under the comprehensive plan is absolutely massive. But to bring that to market, right, for people to lease the space that's going to be constructed, people to keep lights on, in the new apartment buildings, to buy the condos, to shop at the retail, there's got to be a value proposition, right? And what is it that gets people excited to build here in Tysons, gets people excited to move here and work in Tysons? And that's what we've got our panel to talk to us about today, that value proposition that's going to result in this massive creation of wealth and real estate value in Tysons.
This has been an exclusive Altus Group podcast. Stay tuned for episode 2 in this series, where we learn about the new Tysons perspective from panelist Mo Hamilton, the executive director at Cushman Wakefield.